Bakar al-Baghdadi is dead. The London-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights made the claim to several news outlets, saying he was killed during a Russian airstrike. There have been a number of faulty reports about Baghdadi's death for a number of years. U.S. officials say they remain skeptical about the new claims. USA Radio News.
All day long you hear ads for prostate pills, all promising to end your prostate troubles fast and easy. But how do you know which pills really work and which ones are garbage? The answer is ProstateReport.com. We took every prostate pill on the market, all the top brands, and spent a fortune to have them laboratory tested to see what is really in each brand. The results were jaw-dropping. You'll be shocked when you see what garbage some of the leading brands are really selling you. So go to ProstateReport.com and see the lab reports and reviews the prostate pill companies don't want you to see. Find out which pills really work and which ones are just a big waste of money. This website is already a blockbuster, and right now, this information is still absolutely free. So say goodbye to your prostate problems once and for all. Go to ProstateReport.com. That's ProstateReport.com.
Donald Trump Jr. has released the emails in connection to a meeting he had with a Russian lawyer.
The meeting was set up by a friend named Rob Goldstone, who suggested the Russian had incriminating information about Democrat Hillary Clinton. Goldstone also noted the information may be, quote, very useful to your father, and described it as very high-level and sensitive info. This week, Trump Jr. said the Russian lawyer's information turned out to be vague and ambiguous.
Some Republican senators are wanting to cancel all or part of the August recess to continue working on a sweeping health care bill. In a Capitol Hill news briefing today, Georgia's David Perdue said lawmakers have a lot to do beyond health care. He said the list includes tax reform and raising the debt ceiling. There's also the matter of funding the government beyond September. Members of the Senate and House have just returned from a week-long recess. Louisiana Senator John Kennedy says lawmakers need to be working longer and working harder. Get more news and analysis online at usaradio.com.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. Every day people ask me, can I still take advantage of today's low rates? Is it still a good time to refinance? The answer is yes. Now's a great time to call Quicken Loans at 800-QUICKEN. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.875%, APR 4.12%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
A woman was arrested trying to sneak into the United States after smugglers left her hanging. Literally. Here's the story.
The woman was found this past Saturday night near Nogales. Officials with the U.S. Customs and Border Protection Agency say two smugglers were trying to lower the woman into the United States from Mexico using a harness and a hoist. When they spotted the border agents, they took off running, but left the woman dangling in the air about halfway up the wall. The woman tried climbing back over the fence, but the Nogales Fire Department got her off the wall, and then she was taken into custody.
The Minnesota police officer acquitted in the case of Philando Castile has taken a buyout to leave the police department.
KSTP reported Monday that Geronimo Yanez will receive a payout of $48,500 along with any unused personal time he has coming. Yanez was acquitted of manslaughter charges last month in connection with the death of Philando Castile. The aftermath of Castile's shooting was streamed on Facebook Live by his girlfriend, who was also in the car with her young daughter. His family has reached a $3 million settlement with the city of St. Anthony.
Police in Southeast Texas trying to find whoever's sticking razor blades in playground slides. Investigators discovered the blades last week at a park in Huntsville, Texas. It's believed that someone is melting part of the slide and then inserting the razors into the melted plastic. The city wants people to pay attention at parks and call police if they see anyone damaging the equipment. Security cameras now being installed at all the parks in hopes of catching who's trying to wound the city's children. USA Radio News.
So, hi, this is Joe Peters with 55 Plus. We're going to be getting started in a few minutes with my special guest, who I'll introduce to you to at that point in time. Really, guest, it's Nancy Lawrence. Lawrence, okay, just like Lawrence, okay. And we'll be back in a few minutes right after. First of all, we're going to give you a little preamble to the weather, then I'm going to give you the weather.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
So this is Joe Peters with the official weather report, and it's coming right off my high-tech Android weather system. And it looks like we're at 84 degrees, very muggy outside if you haven't been out. And it's sort of going to hang in there like this for the next few days. It's not going to get to 90 till late Thursday and a little bit of thunder shower. It's summer in July in New Jersey. That's what the weather is. We're not going to get a lot of rain, but we're going to get a little rain each day, and it's going to hang in there through Saturday, which gets down to 81, which is going to be a little more comfortable. I'm going to play a few of our paid commercials, and we'll be right back.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Hey, Big C here, doing a little practicing for the Hunterdon County Chamber's 16th Annual Golf Classic. We're teeing off at Tuesday, October 3rd at Hawk Point Golf Club. The signature sponsor this year is Hunterdon Healthcare. Besides enjoying a great game of golf, this event is an excellent way for you to promote your business via our sponsorship opportunities, silent auction, and networking luncheon. The Golf Classic launches at 8:30 a.m. with registration, breakfast, and a putting warm-up. This scramble format will begin with a shotgun start at 10 a.m. Plus, we will have some exciting contests to enjoy throughout the day. Oh yes, the winning foursome will be presented with the fabulous Hunterdon Cup. Talk about bragging rights. I got you this year, Team ExxonMobil. I'll see you on the first tee.
Sabía que... De cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental. NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hello, it's Joe Peters, and we're back with Nancy Lawrence. I'm learning how to say her name. It's not spelled with a W. It's L-A...
L-O-R-I-N-C-E.
I-N-C-E.
It's so unusual.
Great. Great. So... tell us a little about your background. What I like to understand is how you got from graduating high school to what you're doing today.
Well, it was a rather unexpected route. I had actually studied humanities and literature, and I have been doing freelance writing and editing. I did that for a number of years and did some teaching as well. And then in my 40s, that's when my mother began to have some health issues. And I was living here in New Jersey. I had a brother in West Virginia, and my mother had moved to South Carolina. And she began to have some health problems, which meant sometimes I had to jump in the car and drive down the 14 hours to get there. Like a lot of people from the World War II generation, she didn't like to ask for help
very
often. So my brother and I might get an email that said, "Oh, by the way, I'm having heart surgery on Tuesday."
My goodness.
And so that required us to respond rather quickly.
Yeah.
And it was, during my time trying to help her out, keep her on even keel, that I actually first learned what home care was.
Okay.
So I didn't have a medical background, more particularly a business background. I had done some research about caregiving in the United States for my writing purposes.
Right.
But this was a whole different And so it was doing research about how to help her that I learned about the possibility of having someone come to the home, flexible schedules, different, adapting to your needs.
Right.
Just a little, if you need just a little, a lot if you need more.
Yeah.
And I had a terrible time trying to sell her on it, but that's served me a good stead too, because eventually, I decided I was ready for a midlife career change and decided to open up a home care agency. And I deal with customers all the time, just like my mother was.
Wow.
Very resistant.
Wow. So how long has it's Come For Care?
Come For Care, Home Care. And I opened the office in Somerset County in 2005.
Okay.
So it's been a little over 12 years.
12
now.
Years. Wow, that's impressive. I know I visited your facilities. I said hello to you, but I spent more time with Roger at that. But Roger's sitting in the background, by the way. And it's amazing. It's right next to the newspaper there in downtown Somerville, and you're up on a couple of floors up. I don't remember what floor it was, but it's a new facility and bustling with lots of things going on. And how do you find people, and how many people do you have today?
In terms of clients?
No, more in terms of employees. We'll talk about clients too, though.
Right. It is one of the fascinating things about home care is its variability, that when clients come and go, and caregivers, we're always trying to adapt.
Right.
So I'm taking the long way to answer.
That's fine.
So, we might have clients who just need, 3 hours a week,
right.
And we have other clients where care
So I mentioned to you that over at any given time I might have 100 caregivers out in the field, but Roger, he does the financial side of it, so he likes to look at it from the point of view of the W-2s. So
okay.
Last year we had 200 W-2s.
200. So everybody is an employee then, not a contractor.
That is correct. Yeah, they're all employees of ours, and because of that, they're licensed, bonded, and insured through us.
Right. Wonderful. So how do you find an employee? I mean, what are your requirements, and then how do you vet them?
Right. We hire certified home health aides. I would say I have maybe only one person that would be qualified as that would be categorized as a companion on staff right now. I find that working with the certified aides is very helpful because even if a client doesn't need very advanced hands-on care.
Right. Okay.
So let me explain that in New Jersey, a certified home health aide has to pass a course of study that's been approved through the New Jersey Board of Nursing,
right.
Division of Consumer Affairs. So they get their certification that way. To keep their license, they have to work for a licensed agency like ours and work under direction of a registered nurse.
Okay.
So we have registered nurses who write the care plans that these agents
yep.
follow. And then the aides are not nurses themselves, but their categorization is certified home health aides.
How much study did they go through to get this certification?
It's to get the original license, it's a course of 72 hours. And
okay.
A hands-on portion where they have to practice their skills. And then when we hire them, too, we're giving them a written test, and then they have to pass their competency evaluation that our nurse does, where she'll observe them, show me how to monitor blood
right.
pressure, take a pulse, show me how you would transfer somebody from a wheelchair to a hospital bed. And
mm-hmm.
we have that equipment there in our near our offices where they can
okay.
actually demonstrate for the nurse.
And what about background checking?
Yeah, we do a criminal background check when we hire our aides. They also must do that when they get their license through the state.
Right. Right.
That people have worked with these aides, that they've been responsible.
Right.
Not been any kinds of concerns.
Sure. Sure. So then let's look at the other side, because when I said, how do you find your people, you said clients or workers. Let's talk about the clients. How do you engage with clients? First of all, if somebody wanted to call you in the next hour, how would they get in touch with you?
Well, I guess the fastest way would be to look us up on the Internet, Comfort Care, Home Care, Somerset County.
Is there a switchboard number there?
Yeah.
Okay.
And normally I'd say ask for Nancy, but I'm here now, so
okay.
they could talk to one of my other staff and
great.
Tell them about what we do.
And what hours are your offices open typically? Is it a business hour?
Yeah, the office is open business hours, 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. However, we have an on-call number, so one of us is always personally
got it.
Available. We don't have an answering service. If you call that after-hours number, which we do give on our office voicemail, in case somebody calls and they need help urgently,
right.
and the office is closed, it will give that on-call number, and that's going to be either me or my wonderful scheduler slash RN slash care coordinator,
right.
Naomi.
So I know when I went through, if my parents are long gone at this point in time, it becomes... just the way I see it is a lot of cases you're trying to hold the two ends together and oh my God, it's too much, I can't do it anymore. And I think a lot of people get to that point long after they should have gotten to that point. What do you suggest to somebody when they're overwhelmed by I can't manage mom and it's getting worse quickly?
Right. Listening to this, I would say, think ahead because Joe mentioned, it can get bad, and so you want to explore what your options are.
Right.
Define what your problems are. Is it safety, or are they frail mentally, or are you seeing cognitive decline? Is your family member beginning to have hospitalizations that require, you know, a lot of, where they require a lot of care afterward? So if you know what's available, that's a big start right there. You can call the Office on Aging. The area offices on aging in New Jersey are wonderful and can provide a lot of information. Maybe they need nutrition support, so meals might be something. They're lower income, and they should see if they can be evaluated to see if they could be eligible for actually Medicaid-paid home care services.
Right.
Because that's another issue maybe we can get back to
Not
all such services are paid for. Maybe an adult day center would be the right thing for them. That can be a great way to go and get socialization, and some of them have registered nurses on staff, so even if the senior is a diabetic and might need support with insulin,
right,
they can help with that. So these are some of the things you can find out through the Office on Aging. You want to think ahead, too, about whether you have your ducks in a row as far as the legal aspect of it goes.
Right.
Does somebody have health power of attorney?
Does someone have financial power of attorney? Who decides those things? Another source for real help, if you've really got complicated family dynamics or complicated health situation, then you might turn to what's known as a geriatric care manager or case manager. Those words are about interchangeable.
Okay.
Sometimes called elder care navigators. They can really hold your hand and help as well.
I know we talked before we got started. There are people who sell their services now as to understanding your particular situation with your loved one and in helping you match that to the right facility for in-house care or whatever the care may be.
Right.
Yours is in-home. That comes for the name of the company, Comfort
mm-hmm.
Care. But eventually, in-home care will lead to something else, probably. It's going to be more in-home care or maybe managed health care system, which is probably where you step out after you get them to the... But I'll let you tell how that works. Let's say it's... Mom's having issues, I don't know what to do, and I call you. And you come in and you do an evaluation and decide that perhaps we should... Maybe so Mom gets used to somebody being in the house, spend a few hours a week getting involved.
Mm-hmm.
How does it go from there? How do you evaluate what happens next? Because I guess it just keeps changing, doesn't it?
It does. And each situation is so individual. Each person, you know, has their own goals. And goals are something that we think about very carefully. And sometimes the family members and the senior, him or herself, have different goals, so mm-hmm. you have to try and help them bring those into alignment. A lot of seniors really prefer to stay in their home. The AARP does the surveys on this, and it's a significant majority who say, I would prefer to stay home than
right.
to go into a residence. But there can come a time, depending on the person and the situation, that a residence may be the right way to go.
Right.
So there have to be lots of different solutions. But certainly in our case, we have clients where we've started out just going for that one-hour bath visit.
Yep.
And over time, they've required more and more, and so we up the support that we provide the family.
Okay.
And the schedule can be anything. They might need more help at night than they do at day, so we can send someone to be with them at night.
And what are the options versus what you do? Try to do it yourself, I guess, is one. Or,
right.
Or go get, I know you mentioned visiting nurse, which I know with my dad that was helpful when he especially came out of subacute and was on his own to start with.
Right.
If I was the health care navigator and I evaluated that you as a child have a parent who needs some attention, what
mm-hmm.
are typically the options at that point in time?
Yeah, you're going to want to look at that whole support network for that particular person. Some people have a lot of family support and friend support, and so... even if they don't have a great deal of money to purchase home care support, they can fill in enough so that it's adequate for right. that person to thrive. And others don't have that. So they, you know, and then again, you know, if their health is declining, especially if they begin to have severe dementia, then you've got to look at the financial aspect as well, too, because this kind right. of care is costly.
Right.
Whether it's a facility, I mean, you know, a nursing home typically can cost $120,000 a year to keep somebody there. So it does really plan to, you know, to, or it pays off to plan ahead.
And everybody thinks they have, and it's not too many really have, I guess.
Yeah.
Or if they have, they're reluctant to spend that money because they're afraid they're going to run out of money.
Right.
And that's, we had Bob Wise, who runs the hospital system, talk to us at a, Linda Bryant runs our senior programs here in Hunterdon County, and she's the mother, I would say the father, except she's female, of all of our senior health programs. And Bob got up and said that, I got to tell you what we're up against here. He said, we're in a very affluent county. This is Somerset. I think we're probably number one and two in median household in the country. And we have people that are outliving their money. Mm-hmm. And we have people that are outliving their children in a lot of instances. So they become wards of the county as to how are we going to help them. And he says, now, why is that happening? He said, it's happening because for every year we live, the average lifespan goes up a year and a quarter. And he mm-hmm. says, just to say that backwards, within 15 years, the average lifespan at birth will be 110 years old.
Yeah.
So we're seeing an exacerbation of people living out, living their money and their children to the point that I'm still here, I'm still healthy, but I need some help.
Right.
And how is the county going to help you? And what if you have run out of money? And what do we do? You haven't done a thing wrong, except there's no money left.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Long term, our society has not really grappled with this adequately.
Right.
So you're right. As people live even longer, that just makes the problem more challenging. And a lot of folks who call in don't know necessarily that Medicare won't pay for home care. It doesn't pay for nursing home care either, except, you know, when you're admitted for rehab, then Medicare will cover right. a certain number of days. But when you go back home, Medicare, people should always ask, you know, if they're sent back home from a hospital or a nursing home, they can get the Visiting Nurse Association that you mentioned, and they'll come for a period of time, you know, 3-6 weeks, depends mm-hmm. on what the individual need is, you know, longer if it's really warranted, to have a nurse come out occasionally, maybe check vitals, maybe help with managing medication. You might also get a physical therapy, and all these are Medicare-paid for services, okay. which is wonderful. So the therapy you should definitely take advantage of, and you might get an hour and a half of a home health aide, like what we provide,
okay.
a couple of times a week or three times, but only for a short period. So that's all that Medicare will pay for in terms of home care. If you are low income enough, Medicaid can provide income or in-home services, okay. and that's what you would find out through your area office on aging or through the Board of Social Services.
Okay.
This is very relevant right now while we are all discussing healthcare options nationally.
Right.
Because when you talk about cutting Medicaid, you just have to be aware that Medicaid doesn't serve just low-income people generally, but it serves a lot of seniors with in-home care. And then eventually, if they do go to a nursing home and they do outspend their funds, as you were describing,
yeah.
It can take over and pay for them in the nursing home, and it's really the only funding we have for that.
That's very interesting, because we talk, and people are sitting there listening, probably saying, well, I don't have to worry about this. I have private insurance. No, right. Medicare takes over when you're 65, unless you're still working.
Right.
And in effect, your private insurance will just take the 20% that Medicare doesn't cover, and that's your private insurance. So Medicare is very important to you, and then beyond Medicare, which is a nationally funded And Medicaid is also nationally funded, except it's jurisdicted by the state.
Right.
So it's what we call in a lot of instances social welfare,
mm-hmm.
but what would be a good word for it? Welfare, I guess. Social welfare is the best word. I mean, but the state decides who gets it and how much they get, but there's a set of guidelines. It's
right.
not like they like some people and don't like others. They have to keep that fair and equitable as well.
Right.
So don't be thinking, I have private insurance and this does my better half works for a teaching institution. And she says, one of the things I like is I have insurance for the rest of my life. And I said, no, you don't. You have 20% supplement that I have to pay and you won't, because
right.
that's all you're getting. The first 80% will be Medicare like everybody else. And it was a rude awakening to her that that's the way it works.
Right. Yeah. And as far as home health is concerned, too, the kind of services that we provide, private
right.
duty, it's either paid out of pocket or it's paid, you know, if you're low income, then you would go with a Medicaid agency. But your health insurance won't cover this. And that's another thing that I sometimes encounter is people who say, well, I have Horizon Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Mm-hmm.
But those medical insurers do not categorize what we do as a refundable or reimbursable service. If it were an actual nurse to perform a nursing home care service, like wound care, then maybe, yes, they would
mm-hmm.
cover that. But medical insurance does not. So for those who have invested in and were fortunate enough to be able to invest in long-term care insurance, that does cover for in-home care.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does it cover to an extent, or does it cover, I guess it depends on a policy.
It depends on your policy. They are different. Some of them have an elimination period, they call it, where you have to pay out of pocket for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them will have a daily limit or a lifetime cap of what they can pay.
Right.
They almost all require that you need help with what they call activities of daily living, which are things
okay.
like bathing, ambulating.
So this is a startling confrontation when it comes up the first time, I would imagine, to a lot of people that, okay, mom needs some in-home, what's covered by her insurance? And the answer may be not much of anything.
Right.
If you want in-home care, it's an out-of-pocket expense unless you've got some long-term care insurance, which I would think most people do not have.
Right. Most do not.
Because it's something you have to start when you're young or it's too expensive. So you can't start it when you're 67.
Or if you have any kind of a condition. If you've
right.
been, no matter your age, if you got a Parkinson's diagnosis, for example,
right.
you wouldn't be able to purchase long-term care insurance.
But there are some wonderful county programs here in Hunter, and I would imagine in Somerset, that kick in for the age elderly management systems.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still not going to pay for in-home health care, are they?
Right, not unless you become Medicaid qualified.
Okay.
They don't
Which means
do that.
You're pretty... You're
right.
you're income restricted, and it's a severe medical issue
right.
of some sort.
Exactly. Yeah. Or yes, disabled. If you're
right.
there's, and we also do some care which is funded through New Jersey has a traumatic brain injury fund.
Mm-hmm.
So we do some care for people who qualify for that. We also partner with the Veterans Administration. The VA has a program in New Jersey called Community Care, and we're one of the agencies that are qualified through the VA to provide that for seniors who need help with their activities of daily living if they are veterans.
So the good news is, from my experience last year, I went through my previous listeners know I went through the 100 in leadership program, and we learned about the health and the welfare and everything, all the social services programs that are here, is that only about 6 or 7% of our elderly go into an assisted care living. The other 90-some percent either live with children or live on their own. And Hunterdon, which is a county of farmers,
mm-hmm.
In a lot of instances have some very elderly people too proud to ask for help and are still
right.
living on their own. In a lot of cases, they're somewhat land rich, but not dollar rich, but they own their property outright, and it's 80 acres, and they're living back there. And
right.
we have some facilities like Hunterdon Helpline that learn of these people and start talking to them once a day to make sure they're being monitored.
That's fabulous, yeah.
Yeah, and they do the same. Hunterdon Helpline also covers Somerset County after 6 o'clock. So it's a real, I was involved there for about a year, and I think a lot of the organization, but I guess two things I've discovered. One is most people don't realize what they're entitled to or not entitled to when they get to this place. And two is the county isn't really good at telling you what they have.
Right.
So that's why a healthcare navigator is really a good investment. You may be paying him or her as a consultant to say, here's my situation and here's what's available and here's what I recommend is the best for your situation. So once you get to this point, that may be your first line of defense isn't the right word, but how to best approach it. But secondly, you're saying Office of Aging is the place to start because they can put you in touch with somebody who can help you figure those things out.
Yes, they can be wonderful. I will often will send out a social worker to sit down with you, look at your what your support is, and they actually get to see you in your environment that way, which gives them a lot of information.
Right.
They're pretty good about keeping an eye on who's most vulnerable in the county, which is great. But there isn't necessarily a lot they can do without the family, you know, authorizing for certain support to be put in place. But as we were saying earlier, if the situation, if the problems are complex, then actually purchasing the services of a care manager or elder care navigator can really be worth it. And I know people are put off because it seems expensive. It might be, you know, $125 an hour or something like that,
right,
but just to throw that out. But they can save so much money in the long run if they help you plan correctly.
And it's not a long process. You probably need your services for 10 or 20 hours. And
exactly.
They match everything
right
up and have said, here's the, for your situation, here is the best that you can expect.
Right. It's like hiring an attorney to make sure that your estate is in order.
Right.
You know, it's costly to have it done, but it can save a tremendous amount.
Now, a lot of our facilities go out and run events on site to bring people up to what's going on at senior homes or gatherings or that outreach, I guess, is what I'm trying to discover. How do you do your outreach in order for people to understand what Comfort Care has to offer to them?
Well, we try a variety of ways. One of the things that we've been doing most recently that I've really been enjoying is a free dementia care workshop for family caregivers.
Wow.
And we've been running them for 3 Mondays in a row for a couple of hours and really delve into what dementia is. It's a lot more than memory loss. We talk about what kinds of changes that you can expect in a family member at every stage of the illness. And what I love is that our program really focuses on the abilities that you retain as well as the things you lose. And that's so important to remember because it's all about quality of life. And you can have quality of life. You can still communicate even when somebody's lost words. Communication happens in other ways. So, so we talk about building on the abilities that are remaining, about making each day as positive an experience as possible. And then we let, we have the people talk to one another and share their ideas. And it's so nice to know that, you know, other people are also experiencing some of the same problems.
Right.
Because
I went to one that Linda Bryant, once again, ran at the hospital here. And there had to be 70 people in the audience, of which 50 of the 70 were tied to a loved one through Alzheimer's help system. They were literally borrowing an hour to come listen to this session.
Yeah.
And we were totally taken back by how much they cared and how tied to their loved ones they were. It was very emotional. And then the thing I didn't forget was Linda getting up, she had a PhD, talk to us and said that, you know, if you live to 65, you've got a small chance of having dementia or Alzheimer's, which is not exactly dementia, but it's an advanced form of what you think dementia is. But if you live to 70, you have about a 25%. If you live to 75, you have a 50%. So the older you live, and remember Bob Wise just said we're going to live to 110, the bigger this problem becomes.
Right.
Now, some people may never get it.
Exactly.
And on the other hand, Linda tells me they can run a DNA test on you right now and tell you if you're susceptible, but nobody wants to know.
No.
So
that's true.
Somewhere in between, is reality. And
right.
Our fastest growing age cohort is 85 to 95, 75 to 85 in Hunterdon County. But we have lots of people in our 90s still driving cars and running farms. And we have lots of people in our 90s that aren't so fortunate. But only about 7% of them are getting into assisted care. The other 93% roughly are finding a way to cope through family or mm-hmm. having some service like yours come into their home.
Right.
I'm just in the throes of running my real estate business. I'm trying to come up with a universal definition of right-sizing. Mm-hmm. And one of the definitions, it means different things to different people, is finding a way to live within the house you're in comfortably.
Right.
It doesn't mean you got to get up and move. It may mean that formal living room that you haven't sat in 10 years is now a bedroom. Mm-hmm. And it's got a bathroom nearby, and maybe we have to make it a full bath. It's only a half bath. But reconfiguring your life, your living quarters around your current lifestyle is important, and that lifestyle will keep changing. And it's a nice trade-off to having to spend money going into a facility because it's pretty ruthless. I don't know if that's the right word, but all of the inheritance is gone,
right.
And other than some burial money, and you know, there's a few things you can set aside. So I think the one thing I can say is, as you start to experience this, you should start to get some help because you don't want to wait until it's too big to handle. And if you'd like to talk to Nancy, she can be reached at Comfort Care at
908-927-0500.
And then both Hunterdon and Somerset County have offices of aging, which mm-hmm. could be your first call. Another person to start with is an elder care attorney. We have attorneys that just specialize in this. Some of them are family attorneys, but I think more specific, the elder care attorneys, and I'm sure some of your referral business is coming from that as well.
Right.
And they can tell you what your options are, but that fear of running out of money is a big fear. And if you don't have that fear, you're either pretty well off or you're not facing reality, because we're going to live a lot longer than our children lived. And the longer we live, the more susceptible to needing this kind of care is going to be. So getting in touch with a person who can help you figure it out as early in the process as possible is paramount in my mind.
Yep, I couldn't agree more.
So how about, it seems to me your services are good for somebody who's not up until the point where they have to go into assisted care or probably pass on in some cases. What happens then? What happens if you've been a person 3 hours a week and I went to 5 and now it's 10? And
we have people who are getting care from us 24 hours around the clock, either by shifts or with a live-in aide. So you can have someone come to the home and be there with you. You know, as long as you're not up all night, sometimes that can happen, you know, then it's fine to do that. And we keep many people at home in their home environment until they pass away.
Wow.
My longest-term client has been with us almost the full 12 years of the agency. And for years, she's an amazing woman. She just got the same steady numbers. I think it was like 9 or 12 hours a week of somebody to come and help her go out and do things because she couldn't drive at this time. And then eventually, unfortunately, she did fall and break a shoulder. And so now she has a live-in caregiver with her. And she's still having great quality of life, really enjoying
herself.
Which
is a great story. But if there are no funds for them to pay for this, you have limited ability to help them. They have to go and talk to the Medicare people.
Right.
Or the Office of Aging to help them match something else up.
Right. And there to look ahead if you think you might have to do that. Some assisted livings and some nursing homes require that you pay out of pocket for a year or two before they will accept you as a Medicaid patient. So you have to think ahead in that case or find a place that doesn't have that requirement.
Know your options. And in order to know your options, you need to get a consultant. You use consultants when you get your teeth fixed. You use consultants when you get your eyes checked, when you get your car repaired. Just another consultant. People say, oh, they're a lot of money. No. If they're doing their job well, there are savings to what you're going to go through emotionally and probably financially.
And ask around, you know, find out who does a good job, you know, helping people. And that's something that we are happy to do at our agency. I will spend time on the phone with anybody who calls and try to direct them where they can get the kind of assistance they need, even if it's not home care.
We had a situation where one of Marilyn's in-laws had promised, Mom, I'll never put you in a nursing home. And I said, it's a cruel thing to have said because I'm not sure you can keep that promise.
Right.
And it came to that, and it was heartbreaking. And it was like, why are you doing this to me?
Right.
There's going to be a time where you just can't maintain it anymore. And fortunately, there were enough assets to make it happen. But different states have different rules. I know when my mom went in and my dad was still on his own, they took half the assets, less burial, and minus the house. My father didn't have to move out of the house. So there's some stringent rules. And if my father had gone in, then all the assets in the house would have gone. And there's you need to talk to an elder care attorney when you get to that level because the state... Let's face it, nobody's working for free, and that includes the state.
Right, yeah.
So you've got to understand what's available, what you have in resources, what you have in personal assets as the time and children it can help out, and then what the requirements are going to be, and match this up. And the, as I said earlier, no need to repeat it, the quicker you get into this, the a little more easier it's going to be.
Right.
I see you guys won an award. I was reading about this. We were probably sitting close to each other in a parking lot. I didn't realize you were there. There is a home care CHAP award.
Yeah, that's a CHAP is an accrediting agency.
Okay,
and it has very stringent standards. So to you know achieve CHAP accreditation, you have to be able to show. Literally show, because they will send somebody out to do a survey. We had someone with us for 5 days, basically, in our offices, visiting our clients, looking at our files, to be sure that we are adhering to the best practices nationally, also according to the New Jersey Board of Nursing, the New Jersey Division of Consumer Affairs, and this national accreditation entity, CHAP. That is one thing that you can look for when you're looking for home care to ensure that, you know, you've got an agency that will hold up to scrutiny.
So it's up to a higher level.
Yeah.
I mean, do you call them up and say, I'd like to be accredited, or do they find you?
That's something that all our Comfort Care New Jersey offices did together. It was a long, you know, process of bringing, you know, all the systems of the business into compliance with their regulations.
Got it. So it's a level standard of service that they've put on top of their business model. Now, Comfort Care is a franchise as such?
It is a franchise,
How many offices are there in New Jersey?
In New Jersey, I believe I'm going to be really close if I say maybe 13.
Okay,
12,
and there's some in Pennsylvania as well?
Yes, there are.
So let me spell Comfort Care for our listening audience just in case they have trouble with it. C-O-M-F-O-R-C-A-R-E. No spaces. Come for care.
Right, and no T in there.
And no T in there. So if you're one of our Pennsylvania listeners and you'd like to call Nancy, I'm sure she could help you find the right thing, but look up your local Come for Care. Now, there are a lot of other agencies who do this as well. And would you say would be a good criteria to use in looking at the agency that you do business with? I would think the base that your employees are vetted very closely and are full-time is important and accredited at the levels you said.
Right. That's a great place to start. Yeah, you can also look for accreditation. It's you know not the only thing to look for, but that's one way of vetting quality. You can, depending on your office on aging, I know Somerset County, they will share information about agencies that they know are reputable.
Right.
You call them up and see how they respond to you on the phone. You want to be sure you've got a place where you actually can talk to somebody right away and they're not on the fly, for instance, or answering, you know.
I know, and it may have changed because my dad's gone a long time at this point in time, but he first, and I want to touch on this anyway, he first got into this coming into out of subacute after having a hip replaced. And every time I went to the subacute, there was somebody else there. There was never the same person twice. And it was run by a big hospital or hotel corporation, if I remember. And when I'd ask, well, where is Joe that I talked to yesterday? Oh, I'm sorry, he's not in. Harry will help you today. And I started to smell fish. You know, it's like, well, what is this turnover problem we're experiencing? And that was just short term because I was just trying to get my father out and home.
Right.
But if they're going in, that's something, I mean, checking references, I'm sure, is important.
Yes.
And talking to people who have had people in there.
Yeah, we're very happy to put people in touch with clients and families who've used our services so they can, you know, get an experience, ask about their experience with our agency.
Now, I see from one of your notes you're saying that coming out of subacute is a great place to first get engaged at times. Because for those who don't know, subacute means you've gone to the hospital, but the hospitalization with all the regs that we've got today only covers so much. And after a certain amount of time, you get pushed out to a subacute, which is a probably a nursing facility that takes care of your finishing your rehabilitation. It's just a cheaper way than having you in the hospital. That's
right.
Joe Peters' assessment of it anyway.
With more therapy, right?
With more therapy,
yeah,
hopefully.
Physical, occupational, speech therapy.
Right. Right. And the thing that I found while in the hospital was that to a great extent, I wouldn't say 100%, the social workers in the hospital are just trying to keep you moving through the system.
Right.
They're not really trying to socially help you the way you would hope they're there to hopefully help you. And one of the things to get you through the system is after so many days, you can't be in the hospital anymore and you're going to go to a subacute. And it comes up rather abruptly, like after tomorrow, he has to choose A, B, or C. And I'm saying, why didn't we talk about this 2 weeks ago? Now, this was my own experience. Maybe it's a lot better, but I'm not sure.
No, what you're describing is very typical. Yeah. Although I know the goal is, and the mantra of the care managers in the hospitals is that you start planning for discharge the day you are admitted.
Right.
It often doesn't really happen that way. And so people are surprised. So it's one thing that the move from the hospital to the subacute rehab, that's one big thing. You have to try and find one that you think will do a good job for your family member and that's maybe not too far away for you. And then once you're there, Medicare will pay for a certain number of days. And if you are no longer progressing in your therapy, then and the subacute can't show that to Medicare in case they were audited, then they need to send you home. So I would really advise people to be very proactive about engaging the social workers and the team there at the rehab, and don't let yourself get surprised. You know, ask about discharge dates.
The two things you can presume is you're going to leave the hospital quicker than you expected, and you're probably also going to leave the subacute quicker than you expected.
So what is your family member going to be like leaving that subacute? You know, are they still going to be able to do the stairs? Are their medications going to be changed? Has their sleep pattern changed? Because, you know, hospitalizations and rehab can be very traumatic for people.
Right.
Even younger people can become delusional at times, and that especially happens with seniors.
And you get the help that they're trying, and they're sincere. They're really doing as much as they possibly can be doing. Their hands are tied at a certain level. But you could say, we're going to have DNA, we're going to have Meals on Wheels, we're going to have a rehab person come over. But it's for a limited amount of time. It's all going to come to an end because everything has a term limit as far as how much money they will spend.
Right.
And the rules aren't stacked against you. Everybody gets the same poor set of rules, or limited set of rules, maybe is a better word.
Correct, yeah.
And that's where Comfort Care comes into play. You realize that we can't possibly help Mom, and I could stop over on the weekends, but I can't be there every day. Well, Meals on Wheels will call you if they see something, and the visiting nurse will call you after every time they visit, but they're only going to visit 10 or 20 times. There's a limit to what they're going to do.
Right.
And now you're faced with, my God, what am I going to do?
Right. And, you know, if we're visiting with somebody who's home, home from hospital or rehab, even if we're only there two or three times a week, if that's all they can feel they can afford or they need at that time, The aide will be reporting back. We will keep an eye on that person. The nurse comes back every 60 days to do and spends another hour and a half reevaluating.
Wow.
Too. So that's extra eyes and ears.
What languages do your people speak?
Oh, a wide variety. But okay. Everybody has to be able to speak English so that we can communicate. We have lots of accents.
Yeah.
But they have to be able to read and write and speak in English. So there's quite a variety. I wish I had more languages. I wish I had more Chinese or Indian caregivers.
Wonderful.
That doesn't come my way as often as I would like.
Well, Nancy, I told you this would go by quick. We're quickly coming to the end. We've got about another minute and a half, 2 minutes. What would you like to say wrapping up?
I think we've covered a lot of good ground, hitting the theme about preparing ahead and knowing what your options are.
Right.
That is so essential. I think one of the special things about home care is that we are really right in the center of people's homes and their lives. We see people in a different way than their doctors do. The doctor sees you in your office, other people see you in other settings, but we're able to be right there. So we can connect you. We can see what the needs are. We can try and plan ahead. We can tell you maybe you need to strengthen. Maybe you haven't injured anything, but you still might need therapy.
Right.
We can connect you with a podiatrist who makes the home calls, or a beautician, or any number of services. So I think that's one of the benefits. And we can do more than just help you take a bath or make sure you take your meds in the morning.
Great. Well, I appreciate you coming on, and Roger, for you doing the chauffeuring and sitting in the background. It's been very informative. If anybody would like to talk to Nancy directly, it's
908-927-0500.
That's the Somerville number. She does Somerville and parts of Hunterdon County. And if her services don't cover you geographically, she'd be more than happy to help you match up who might be. Thanks again. This is Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker. I'm going to play my introduction one more time, and then we're going to go right to the news, and we'll have our music show following in about 6 or 7 minutes. Thanks again, Nancy.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
We need to work all or a portion of the August recess and show some results for the American people.
Georgia Senator David Perdue earlier today calling on Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell to delay the recess in August to get work done, and McConnell responding. McConnell saying they're going to cancel the first 2 weeks of the August recess. Louisiana Senator John Kennedy says they have a lot to get done.
Anybody who thinks we can get all of that done from by the end of the year, that's just a testament to the power of human denial. We have got to work longer and harder.
A new report confirming the death of ISIS leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. The London-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights is making the claim. U.S. officials say they've heard these death reports before. They're going to remain skeptical. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Attention, all men. Did you know that bladder control problems are very common? If you or a loved one is suffering from male incontinence, please listen to this important message from Men's Liberty. Because bladder control problems do not need to keep you from living an active life any longer. Best of all, costs can be covered by Medicare or private insurance. Call 888-827-7549 to receive a free week's supply with your order.
Using Men's Liberty, we can go places, and I don't feel a sense of anxiety.
Men's Liberty has made both mine and my husband's life easier.
As a urological surgeon, I highly recommend Men's Liberty. It's simply the best option available, and I've seen how it changes lives.
Men's Liberty is covered by Medicare and most major health insurance plans. Say goodbye to painful catheters, expensive diapers, and embarrassing accidents, odors, or infections. Call 888-827-7549 to receive a free week's supply with your order. Call 888-827-7549.